Hello, everyone. Part two. Welcome. Why did you like? Wow. 2 seconds in, and we're already.
We're all over the place today.
We are. It's all right. Part two of unaccompanied minor. I remembered. That's actually a pretty easy song to remember.
It's very relevant to the plot.
Yes.
So
it is
sense.
The plot of this episode.
It is the plot.
Yeah. Also, we are Grey's Academy. Welcome back. And this episode is, we're going to start with
a
conversation that happened off air.
Well, first we're going to start with, as of recording this, it is Tuesday.
Yes.
And we are very nervous and anxious for all of our friends in Florida and on the Gulf Coast and on the East Coast with Hurricane Milton about to hit. We don't know what's happening. We know all of our friends have either evacuated or are prepared to ride out the hurricane. And we are hoping for the best. We are hoping that, you know, once it makes landfall, it will, you know, dissipate, which is pretty standard for hurricanes. Once they make landfall, you know, the coast is hit the hardest. And then as it moves inland, it goes down and is typically just becomes a very bad storm. And we are hoping for that. We do not know. We are going to continue to check in with our people and hope for the best. And if anyone is listening to this, has been affected, we just hope that you were able to stay safe or even evacuate, and we will keep posted if there like are more relief efforts in the coming days that we can share, just like I shared the relief efforts for Helene. So as of right now, it's very unknown, but we are hoping that it is not, you know, horrendously devastating.
Yeah, I was reading this article this morning about how mathematically speaking,
yeah, it's very unlikely.
It has hit the virtual ceiling of what mathematical capabilities, temperatures of the water, the time of the year, mm-hmm. everything that the hurricane can hit. So it went very rapidly from a category 1 to a category 5 very quickly.
And the eye is tiny, which is wildly unsettling.
Yeah.
So anyways, we are just hoping and praying and just like doing. I mean, there's just, it's one of those things where you really can't do anything but wait.
Now at least.
And it's hard when we have so many friends and loved ones in the direct path, and it's just stressful to know, even if like they're okay, the chance that they'll lose power or like cell service is likely. So it's just kind of then waiting until they're able to communicate that they're okay, which is just like, it's hard to wait when you're worried about people that you care about. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, we were upset at the end of the last episode. We got more frustrated than we needed to. We had a very productive conversation about it off air. Part of the reason that it kind of got to where it did is we discussed, there were things kind of informing the way we were looking at it from our pasts. And I personally wasn't sure how much we were going to be wanting to share about like personal pasts kind of that informed about that. So I didn't push it, but then that leads each other into making assumptions and then getting frustrated. And the reality is in real world conversations, we like have the fleshed out conversations. We rarely keep anything from each other or hold back on like thoughts or like personal experiences. But because I was trying to respect a boundary and like not sure how much Carmen wanted to go into, there was like, he was having feelings that obviously were impacting this scenario specifically. And then also my inability to agree to disagree, because fundamentally as a human being, I don't love to do that. Well, what I explained to Carmen is I don't mind to agree to disagree, but I don't like it when people say it as a conversation ender. I prefer to hear each other out and not just be like, well, I'm just saying this so that we no longer have to listen to each other. And
yes.
I don't think that's what he was doing, but sometimes that is what he's doing.
Or Kelsey agrees with me and she doesn't even understand that she's agreeing with me.
And then
we're saying
and
the same thing.
And then I get more
No.
Also, I told Carmen I would say this on air. He did an excellent job communicating his feelings regarding the conversation that we had and explaining why he felt the way he felt. And I thought that was very impressive and also very unlike every man on Grey's Anatomy.
Very
demure. He was an excellent model for what these men should be doing.
I also want to take a second and make sure I say I'm sorry that while I was half joking, well, actually, I would say it was like 90% joking.
Yeah.
using comedy to diffuse a situation that caused me frustration. Calling Kelsey an Owen Hunt. I obviously do not mean that. And he sucks. Kelsey does not suck. This guy is garbage. Kelsey is mostly not garbage.
And I told Carmen I would never call him an Owen Hunt, but I might call him a Derek Shepherd if the situation required it.
Yeah. So I wanted to take a second and just share. So specifically, when I was referring to Bailey going soft, and Kelsey also said, like, she has the hindsight of seeing the full arc and everything that's in the show, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. When I was saying that she was going soft, I was feeling frustration about three specific scenarios, this one being included in that. And all of them involved Eli. So the number one, there was that episode. What patient was it?
It was really early on Dr. Weber's trial, because they did like the emergency waiver to get her. They had like been in
That's
the hospital
right.
for like 8 weeks or something. I just remember it was a husband and wife, and the husband was like really frustrated, and Eli clearly had a relationship with him.
Yeah. Where he's like, you need to tell him the risks, tell him the risks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But like painted it in a way that, as though Dr. Bailey was actively trying to hide something. And we did both discuss, we don't love Eli, A, as a character, or B, as a partner for Miranda Bailey.
Yeah. So that's where my
definitely
frustration
plays a part into these specific like scenes with the two of them.
Yeah. And also, it's important to recognize that this is all fictional. This is all made up.
Yeah, we got very angry about
like,
fake people just now.
How dare you? So that episode, it was like Weber, Jackson, and Eli were all kind of like mansplaining a lot to Bailey.
A lot of then talking that, over her, not hearing her out. Yeah.
Then there was the scene where I think it might have actually been the same episode where Eli
was the same episode.
Like, I'm a Cro, like, we argued, so what? I'm this Cro-Magnon, like, man, I'm going to take you home, and
well,
I'm going to have
sex with
you.
Well, and that same episode, he also was like, but you need to say I'm right. But it was never clear that he was, because he was not.
Right. And then this on top of it, where it felt like the situation, in different circumstances, to Kelsey's point, like, I do think that if you're in a relationship where the other person has a kid and you're getting serious, if the other person doesn't bring it up, yeah, it should be a safe space where you can bring it up and have a dialogue about it. I didn't feel like the situation was right. And when she said no initially, it felt like Eli, I think I was had the pricklies up a little bit because of those other two situations.
Right.
It felt like he was threatening her of, if I don't get to meet your kid, then we're breaking up is what it felt like. And I don't think if I'm taking these three scenarios out, like this feels like a different arc that Bailey's in the middle of finding out how she gets reengaged into a relationship than what season one Bailey, which again, like when we met her, she was described as the Nazi. I know that name is obviously since gone. She's going through an arc herself. But then I did share this with Kelsey too. Like, I think the other lens that I was looking at this from, when my parents got a divorce, I had met actually two people that my dad had a relationship with before, not two people before, but two different people, one of which ended up being the person who I refer to as my stepmom. And I think that when you have situations like that where kids are involved, it is very hard to go through, because now I'm the only person out of my four siblings who has a relationship with this person I call my stepmom, and she's now married, and now she introduced a new person into our lives who I refer to as a stepdad and is a grandfather to Marlo. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics that are in play, and that's where a lot of like my frustration was coming from around this Bailey situation. But I want to recognize that yes, it is well within Eli's right, or anyone who's in that relationship, kind of like, what's the place between purgatory, where it's like, do I meet the kid? Do I not meet the kid? Like, where's that at? If the parent of the kid isn't bringing it up, the other person's within the right to bring that up.
Right.
But if the parent
says
no. Just
to see where you are, like, do you think this will be happening anytime soon?
Because I think
if Eli
would have said.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say Eli could have said something like, I get that today was a rough day. I want you to know that this is on my radar and I'm serious about this. So like, I would like this to be a conversation.
Right.
But it felt like he went right to, if I don't get to meet your kid, that's not a relationship I want to be in. Mm-hmm. It felt very threatening. Right. So that's, I think, where I was. Yeah.
And my point that I was making to Carmen is it is hard for me to like remember that I've seen this a gajillion times and he has not. So like my relationship with knowing Bailey as the character, when you say like, oh, he's pressuring her, he's threatening her, like I agree that if she felt that way, she would draw a hard line and push back. Again, to reiterate, I also don't love Eli as a partner for her. I just don't think that she is, and I do think she's different than season one, but you know, she's gone through a lot. She's had a divorce. She's gone through very traumatic events with both her work and her child when she almost lost Tuck. She's had a child, obviously, but so there's different things where like, obviously she would be different than she was in the season one.
All of them are too, right?
Yeah. It's just hard for me to be like, cause you've seen it once and I'm sure there's like plenty of things you don't remember because you're normal. But someone who's like seen it and like feels like they have a very like deep knowledge of who the character is, I just feel like there have been instances where people push on her and she doesn't let them. So for me, I'm just like, okay, I definitely see where it comes like he's pushing, but she's accepting it. And I don't think it's like she's letting him steamroll her. I was just saying like he is bringing it up in this way and she's accepting it, whether that's right or wrong. But I do see where it would come across as like a threat or as demanding or like pushing too far past a boundary. But I think Miranda cares a lot about being a good mother, and especially since becoming a single parent, I do think it's not something she's taking lightly. And I do feel that it's important to remember they have been together a while.
Not just like
so
six episodes.
So definitely think like if this was like 1 month in and he was doing this, I'd be like, bro. Anyways, so we cleared that up. We're still friends. We like each other. Okay, I guess. Except
well, agree
we will continue
to
do this podcast. I've never in my life said the same thing as Carmen, so he's going to continue to say that I'm always saying the same thing.
So anyways, we thought that was important for you guys to hear. But that was like the conversation that happened off air. So everything is good. But also, even if we do disagree on things, which also... Kelsey and I do disagree on things.
We just have healthy conversations around it. Normally.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, and now we're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland! And this episode version of Living in Chondaland is brought to you by patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod. Go there, sign up for our Patreon, and get into the Discord chats and all the extra content. We're actually doing some today. We're doing a Zoom call today. I feel like I should have messaged Alicia to see if she can come out. Are we doing the other thing today? The fanfic reading? Are we doing that today?
I don't remember. We'll have to see because I am still unwell. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
We're gonna play it by ear.
All right.
Okay. This is a good one. We got six.
Okay. All right. Gonna get the easy one out of the way. Quinn Perkins, number one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Scandal. Is it the mom and her husband that decide initially they're waiting when the unaccompanied minor get there?
Yes, both of them.
Okay, so that's three of six, okay. Is it the mom of the unaccompanied minor?
Yes.
Four? So four. Shit. Oh, fuck. let me just look at my notes here to see. Is it... the mom of the clinical trial family?
No.
Dang it. All right. I'm out. I had a good run.
So the other one is like just another parent.
Okay.
In that room. And then the other one is someone called young woman. So honestly, who's to say?
Hey, she got a credit, though. She was credited as young woman.
I think she's the one. I'm looking at the picture now. And I think she's the one who, like, when she like, runs in and goes to the... and is, like, crying and goes to someone else that's waiting and is like, I'm so sorry. It was, like, a very one-off moment where it's just someone who, like...
Oh, at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's
her. Young woman. Typical young woman.
I mean, technically, Quinn Perkins was blood donor, so...
Ah...
okay, so we have Beverly Todd, who played Gilda, which was the woman with the curly hair who decided to stay Gilda Ruiz and Miguel Ruiz was the couple. So this was Gilda, and she is in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Michael Soam. And then Lou Beatty Jr. is Miguel Ruiz, and he was in one episode of Station 19. That's a different person. Sprague Graydon, which is an incredible name, is
the Sprague.
I mean, I'm guessing that's how you say it. It's spelled like Prague, but there's an S at the beginning. Sprague Graydon plays the mom of the unaccompanied minor, Mrs. Gordon. She was in one episode of Station 19 and one episode of Private Practice. Elaine J. Taylor is Loretta, which was another mom or loved one waiting to hear in the cafeteria. And she was in one episode of Station 19 and one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Kieran Dale was the young woman, and she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Katie Lowe's blood donor, Quinn Perkins, 9 episodes of Inventing Anna, 124 episodes of Scandal, and 2 episodes of Private Practice.
Spoiler! Wait, did we already see her in Private Practice?
I think we may have already saw that.
Actually, I think we have. I mean, I've seen, we definitely saw Verna.
Yeah.
And I think Hollis Doyle at somewhere. He was somewhere in something. Was he in a different show? Was he in How to Get Away with Murder? Was he in this? He was in this.
Hollis?
Was Hollis in Grey's?
I don't think so.
Maybe not. I feel like I've seen him, though.
Greg Henry. He is in Gilmore Girls.
Yes, he is. Also a villain in Gilmore Girls, I think.
Well, the thing about Mitchum Hunsberger is he's not actually saying anything that's wrong. It just makes Rory upset. And that's really more on her. Oh, remember he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, as Thanos, the good villain.
No, as Grandpa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Scandal. I don't think he was on anything else. I mean, I don't think he's on anything else in Shondaland, because he's on a lot in the world.
Maybe I just saw him out in life, and I thought,
maybe
Hollis
Doyle. Walking down the street. Oh, no. Carmen, you were right. I was wrong. He was in that flashback episode of Grey's.
He was the doctor. Chief.
He was the old chief. Racist sexist chief.
Yeah, fuck you, Hollis.
Yeah. Okay, anyways. So that's Living in Shondaland. It was actually worth it, you know, digging through all the extras, because so many of them were in Shondaland. Because I was like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. But a lot of them actually were. So it was kind of worth it. Okay. Let's start with, I mean, is there anything really other than Alex, Derek, and Meredith? I guess we can talk about the plane crash, but not that.
The plane crash probably is.
The plane crash is like a misdirect, because it seems like it's going to be this huge thing, and then it's essentially nothing. I mean, it's more traumatic than physical trauma.
Yeah, the plane crash becomes, in my notes, a conduit for the tree branching of, like, Mark and Jackson and Lexi, right. And then the Christina and the Owen conversation happens, where she tells him that she's pregnant in the middle of them prepping.
Right.
So yeah, let's just kind of like freeform anything else that we have to talk about
about like the Mark, Lexi, Jackson. Mark going to Jackson and being like, you can have her, take care of her, you're a good person, which I'm glad that he acknowledges that, like, Jackson is a good person. Like, that was nice of him, because especially after how he was when Lexi was with Alex, that was yikes. But it is just it's a weird choice to make as a person, to go to another person and be like, I'll give you this person that I don't own.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing. And then Jackson was like, well, I already have her.
Yeah, which I loved that response. He was like, I'm already with her, but okay.
Yeah.
I the intentions were good. Like, I don't think he was trying to be like weird about it, or like aggressive or mean or passive or anything like that. I think he thought he was like doing the right thing, but ultimately, because it's like an issue between him and Lexi, he really only needed to be between him and Lexi.
Yeah. It is important to note, so I started this episode, and I got about 7 or 8 minutes in, and then I had to come back and finish this episode a day later. So there's a scene early on in the episode where Jackson is on Mark's service, or he's helping out him out with stuff, like when they're pairing people off to get ready for the trauma. And Mark is annoyed, excuse me, but then Owen's like, well, listen, he's not a bad guy. He took his name off. Or when Mark was like, oh, it's too burdensome to be with the chief, like, oh, blah, 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 emotional taxing. And that's when Owen stands up for him. He's like, well, no, actually, he thinks that the chief has a real shot at a Harper Avery, and he doesn't want his name on there to taint those chances. Right. There's the realization that Mark has, and it goes to him. And that's when he's like, yeah, you could have her. Later on, when Jackson actually tells that to Lexi, and he's like, well, Mark said I could have you, and I think I owe him a goat now.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was real funny.
Yeah. And Lexi's also, like, I can't believe that he did that.
Yeah. What's Jackson's actor's name, the actor who plays Jackson?
Well, if you hadn't asked me, I would have been able to tell you. Jesse Williams.
So, no spoilies, but he is currently in Only Murders in the Building.
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah. I got very excited when I saw him.
And he is still beautiful as hell.
Still a handsome man.
Yeah, so he says, Sloan gave us his blessing. Well, not really. More like he gave me to you, which was nice. And Lexi says, are you serious? And he goes, yep, I probably owe him a goat.
Yeah, that was funny. I enjoyed that. It was cute. Now, so let's talk through them later, because what's her name? Lexi is going to get a thing from the vending machine, and Mark comes up to her. Mm-hmm. Do you have any of that transcript there ready?
Yeah, I can grab it real quick.
Thought that was a very powerful scene. Sad.
Yeah, interesting, necessary for the two of them. Okay, here we go. He says, hey, how are you doing? She's like, not now. And he says, come on, you've been in the dead zone all day. Because again, they've had to just tell people that their family members or loved ones, whoever they had on the airplane, was dead, except for one person. And Lexi says, you have to stop. You got to stop talking to me and checking on me and talking to my boyfriend. I love you and I'm always going to love you, but I don't want to love you. I want to be happy. And Jackson makes me happy. And if you keep pulling at me, I'll come back to you. And he says, you're right. I'm sorry. And Lexi says, you got what you wanted. You wanted a family. Just let me have what I want. And Mark says, I said, you were right. I told Avery I was letting you go. Did he tell you that part? And Lexi goes, yeah, it's paternalistic and weird. And Mark says, I am letting you go, Lexi. That means you got to walk away.
They're still going to get together. They're still going to end up together.
Walk me through how we get there.
I don't know. it's a feeling, you know?
It's a feeling. I have a feeling.
I have a feeling. Maybe Jackson dies. I don't know. They can't write people out of the show normal. The last time, well, actually, no, they wrote Burke away normal, I guess. They wrote Han away normal.
Yeah. Well, they kind of made Han look not great, but like they made her like shame Callie for being bisexual, which was rude.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't keep, kill her, is your
they
point.
Keep they keep Arizona kill here, though.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just, there's a feeling. I feel like they're supposed to be together. They're currently our Derek and Meredith.
Yeah, because that's who we care about.
Yeah, there needs to be a will they, won't they love story, and that's the only one that's happening right now.
Right.
And this finale, while anticlimactic, did give us, she loves him, and she'll always love him.
It's true. She did say those words exactly.
She said those words exactly. So okay. Yeah, I don't know, but they're going to be together. Probably by season 8 finale.
Okay. So anything else on the two of them?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cool. So then I did want to shout out, obviously April gets chief resident. Jackson is the only one who says anything to her about it.
And it takes all damn episode.
Well, they were running about, but yes, it does. Well, they don't even post it till like halfway through.
That's fair. But like the second that it happens, she's clearly excited. No one even goes up to her.
Yeah.
I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. No one really loves her. I mean, people have started to tolerate her more, but she has made it difficult in some scenario. Well, like, not, like, actively made it difficult. She just has a personality that doesn't jive with everybody, which is whatever. Like, it's fine. Not everybody is for everybody else. But obviously, Alex and Meredith are in the trenches of their own bullshit. Christina also in the trenches of her own situation. And also Christina's mad about probably still from last episode about April ratting on her. Jackson, it makes sense for Jackson and April. Like obviously they were friends before the merger. So it makes sense that they would like, that he would go to her and say, congratulations. It did bum me out that he was like, wow, chief resident. And she says, I'm sorry. Like that to me is a bummer. She should be like excited for herself and like happy. I mean, it feels like she doesn't get that moment, which even though I don't love April, that is a bummer to me. She should get to celebrate that win. But then Jackson does do the thing where he's like, everybody's going to hate you again because now you have to be the boss of them. And she's like, oh, shit.
Which is like not untrue, but also let's just take a moment to be happy and celebrate. I like that he's the first person. You're right. It does make sense because they were at Mercy West. Mercy Death. And yeah, she even kind of hints at it. She's like, yeah, both of us have had like a long year, like I'm glad we both get to be happy, like blah blah blah. And when, like, if we're going back to that scene earlier with Hunt, that Alex was like, it should have been me or Meredith, blah blah blah, and he said he was gonna, Hunt was like, I was going to pick you. It is interesting that he kind of calls out and breaks the fourth wall on you just like threw under the bus. The only one universally like, well, like liked and respected person in this hospital. It's interesting that it's Meredith. This is interesting.
Yeah. It is weird to me every time I hear that line, like the most, you know, I'm like, does everyone like her? Because like I feel like she's just constantly the center of drama. But then I guess I stopped to think. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess it doesn't really seem like anyone dislikes her.
Yeah.
Other than
Derek. It was interesting to think about. Well,
her husband.
Derek can get his own head out of his ass in this episode. Like, that's, I guess we should probably talk about the trial too. yeah. You know, all that stuff. But yeah, so it was very interesting. April, I'm very happy for her. I'm glad that I called it a mile away. A mile and a half, if I'm being honest. 2 miles, even. And Alex going to Owen was just, like, so unprofessional. That's a bad look. Yeah.
I mean, and then he tries to backtrack that and be like, oh, well, I was really drunk when I told you that, and I only told you that so you wouldn't make her chief resident. And he's like, well, if you didn't think that was going to have actual repercussions, then you're also stupid. So that's not really on me.
Yeah. Yeah, that... That was a good, I mean, it made sense. What Owen was saying in that moment actually was right. If you didn't think this through, then you're an idiot. You idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I don't know if I believe Owen when he tells Alex that he was going to make him chief resident. I think mostly I do because, like, really, what's the point of the lie other than to make Alex feel shitty? And I don't know that Owen cares enough to make him feel shitty. But yeah, it would make sense to me that he would have given it to Alex. So I don't know.
I think that it was true. I think he was going to.
Yeah.
I think he was probably going to pick him.
Given it to Alex.
Although I don't know why he wouldn't have given it to Meredith. Like there was nothing that was saying no to Meredith. I guess it was just the organization piece and like bringing all this surgery stuff together for Africa, like, you know.
Yeah,
that was the kicker, because they both were on, she's on a trial, he's doing the Africa thing.
Just
that was more important to him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so
in the ranking
it's
system.
Obviously, like, from a career standpoint, everything. I will say this about this finale, because even when with season six, even with it being like horrendously traumatic and like a really obviously like very heinously memorable episode in the worst way possible, at the end of it, as terrible as it is, there's really not a cliffhanger. Like, everything's basically resolved and you know everything's going to be okay, versus this episode where like you don't have that like large event or like mass like medical thing. I mean, you have a mass casualty, but you don't have like a medical emergency of like all hands on deck because everyone has unfortunately perished. But at the end of it, there's a lot that is up in the air, a lot of cliffhangers, a lot of like uncertainty moving forward. So I think that is a bigger difference between at least the past two, because there really wasn't a cliffhanger at all last season.
Yeah, it's a good point to bring up. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So.
Do you want to take a quick break and then we'll home stretch?
Yep.
All right. Regional sponsors, take it away. And we are back.
Here we
Wonderful.
Are.
Wonderful. Lovely. So what do we have to talk about still? Oh, the trial.
Yeah, and Derek and Meredith and the dissolution of their communication and relationship as a whole.
Yeah. Yep. No big deal.
So obviously, everything seems fine in the beginning. They're like, Meredith and Derek are at the house in the woods, and they're showing Janet like how they're going to set everything up once it's finished. And then they go to the hospital, and Meredith's like, I'm going to do intake on this patient, and it's so sad they have two kids, and like, that's such a bummer. And Derek's like, oh, you can sit it out. And she says, no, treat me like a colleague, not your wife. She'll live to regret those words. And then Owen comes up to Derek and says, I need to talk to you about the trial. Obviously telling him what happened, or what Alex claims happened. And so Derek approaches Meredith. She refuses to tell him anything because in her mind, she's like, as long as nobody else knows, then no one else is affected. Like, the trial is still blind to everyone else because only I know what I did. And so then Derek gets super mad and takes her to Richard and tells Richard what happened. And Richard's like, probably have to fire you because he doesn't understand what it is. And then Alex kind of puts together what was going on so that they can figure out what patient it was. And then obviously it comes to light that it's Adele. And Richard's like, oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah,
the
a
moral
bit of an
compass
interesting...
is non-existent.
Yeah, Derek gets all up in arms at one point and says, I don't know that I could raise a child with someone who doesn't know the difference between right and wrong.
Right.
First off, right and wrong is just as complicated as ever, especially these days.
And that's Meredith's point.
Yeah.
That it's just a gray area. Derek disagrees that it is black and white, right and wrong. He says it doesn't change for him that it is Adele. Meredith doubles down and is like, I'd do it again. I know it was wrong, but I'd do it again. And that's when Derek says, I don't know if I can raise a child with you. And then she's like, so you're saying I'm a bad mother? And he doubles down and he's like, well, you keep saying it. Which, like, Derek's anger about the trial is super justified. But to take a stab at the one thing that Meredith is the most worried about in her life.
And he even says that, too. You've been
multiple times.
You haven't shut up about it for the last 4 weeks, so maybe you're right. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Like, that is so hateful.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, when someone trusts you enough to, like, let you know what they're most worried about, and then you use that against them, I'm just like, this man is a piece of garbage.
Yeah, that was
always
not a good look.
Always will be.
He's problematic. Don't know if I'd say and always,
then,
you know.
And then continues to refuse to answer any of her calls, so is wildly unaware that they even approved the adoption, temporary custody. Answer your phone. It's just not that hard. At least listen to the message. Although Meredith could have done a better job and been like, hey, I have the baby.
Yeah, they had texting back in 2010.
Yeah, because she gets a text from Janet that's like, call me about the adoption.
Yeah.
So she could have done that, but yeah.
Also, you think that she would have texted him, too.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it could be that Meredith is, like, the point of contact. Or maybe she did text both, and Derek just fully turned his phone off and was like, I'm going to pretend that the world doesn't exist because I'm so mad.
Mm.
Who's to say?
Also, their home construction site concerns me a little
Why
bit.
Why is that?
Number one, the pace. How is the house not farther along?
Well, I actually don't remember them ever saying they broke ground.
I just remember
him having blueprints at some point and Meredith not being able to see them because of her medication. Oops.
She was blinded for a little bit. Second, the amount of just nails floating around. Like,
I will say,
at one point, I was like, are you building that house yourself, Derek? Like, what is happening?
We came to our site, like, multiple times during the build phase, and it was not, there were not just nails. If there was, it would be, like, a rogue nail, not just, like, a box of nails had been poured out on the ground.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
I agree.
So that was funny to watch. And when he goes and he, like, okay, Derek, I'm going to say this as a mostly Derek fan. Going and just laying out in the wilderness where a bear could eat you overnight with no shelter in just a sleeping bag. Maybe overdramatic.
Keep him safe.
Maybe overdramatic.
Gonna keep him safe. He's fine. Maybe he has bear mace.
I hope.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't care. He's like, I hope I get eaten so Meredith can feel worse.
If only she wouldn't have messed with the clinical trial, I would never have died.
Ugh. I'll show her. I'll die.
Yeah. You see what you've done to me? That reminds me of that Dane Cook skit where the person who comes in and steals the batteries of the remote ends up in him getting a divorce.
Oh.
You ever seen that
no.
episode? It's amazing. The punchline is just he yells out at one point, the robber stops taking batteries and starts changing things around the house. So they change it to, instead of a door, he has old 70s style beads. And then at one point, the robber comes and rips down the beads. And then Dane Cook yells out into the abyss, I want a divorce because of you. So
incredible.
It's just a great, I'm going to find it. I'm going to send it to you. It's great. He's making a comeback, you know.
I don't need that. He's not a good person.
I think that he's also problematic.
Yeah.
And this whole, have you been keeping up with the Diddy situation?
Tangentially, like on the peripheral. I've not gone super deep into it since they're still in the investigation stage, but it's not good.
Jess was telling me something the other day about how, like, it's coming out that Jay-Z is a mafia boss and people who don't praise Beyonce in their acceptance speeches get killed.
Well, I'm not going to say that that's coming out so much as that is an alleged rumor that, to me, seems heinously ridiculous.
I think it's important to note
killing people.
It's important to note that on the off chance they are, we want to recognize and just shout out from Kelsey and myself both. We love Beyonce. We couldn't have made this podcast. She's been a crucial to the success of this podcast. So thank you, Beyonce.
Anyways.
Just want to cover all of our bases.
Yeah.
Derek sucks, I think, is the point we're trying to say.
It's so true. That's always the point I'm trying to say. Was there anything else we need to say on the two of them just being
wildly
unstable as a couple?
Yeah, it's unfair, the hard turn that Weber gives when he's like, when he does realize that it's Adele, he goes to Derek. And Derek is actually, Meredith even calls him out. She's like, do you want me to get fired? Are you pressuring Weber to fire me right now? Like, this is
yes,
how it feels.
He is. He
so,
sucks.
Yeah, that was unfair. And then Weber's like, well, if I do that, then I have to fire her too, because I basically was the one. Thank you for acknowledging this, Weber. I was basically the one who pressured her to doing this for Adele. So you have to fire us both. Now, I don't understand how the conversation hasn't happened where they're like, well, let's just still submit the stuff. I don't know how FDA stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
But if Derek is so upset that it's not creating the drug that he needs to save Meredith, then just let them create the drug to save Meredith.
Oh, you're saying like submit the study and let the FDA do the study without them being involved?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just submit it. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. I do think that probably they need more research. Like, that's why they have to do the study to get to that point. But I don't know. And then I did feel really bad for the, like, when Meredith had to go tell the people that they can't have the drug.
Oh, that was so sad. And yeah, she even says that too. She's like, it's not right or wrong that there is a box in this hospital with a medicine that could help this family. It's not right or wrong. It's weird that it's Adele and Richard. Like, think about my family that I've been through. Richard ruined my parents' relationship. Like, it's, or he was a part of that. It wasn't just all him. But
yeah,
it's, Meredith is, I'm on Meredith's side on this one. And I am proud to say that for the first time and not very often, I am not on Derek's side on this one.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying I'm on her side like I would have done that, but I'm definitely on her side of it's not black and white.
Yes, that's what I mean by that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So, yeah, I think, I don't know if there's really much else to say on it. I mean, the chief says that he has to suspend Meredith so that it looks like he's done something.
And but then that's basically just going to be the break between season 7 and season 8. That's just the break.
To the FDA to, like, let them investigate. So, yeah, that's where we're at.
And the caseworker did say that this is temporary.
Yeah,
so
temporary
we don't
custody.
Know.
They have to get, like, the final waiver, like, to get full custody, permanent custody, rather.
And then, in conclusion, Lucy goes to Alex and says, tell me to not go to Africa. And he says, you can go to hell.
Which feels fair.
Yeah, she snaked his job and
and then I'm like, what do you want from him? Like,
yeah, you should have told him to not go to Africa.
Yeah, I'm just like, she, I mean, I understand she wanted to, like, be considered more as a real relationship and as a reason to stay, but, like, she could have just communicated that and been like, what do you think this is? Like, is this too new to let these decisions factor in, or should we be considering each other when we make these choices? Simple question. Easy question. Reasonable question.
We also didn't really talk about the unaccompanied minor.
Oh, right. So they're prepping. Everybody's dead. Oh, they found a body. It's a little girl who had been visiting her grandparents and had to come back on her own. The mom, she needs surgery. The mom gets there. The other people rally around her. And then they lie and say that their kids are also fine.
It's
very, very sad. And then they come and get her and say that her daughter's ready to see her. And she leaves. And that was, like, the last beacon of hope of anything good happening for any of them. And she leaves. And then the mom cries. And it's heartbreaking. Just fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. When they're all about to leave. And what was it? Gilda?
Yeah.
Gilda says, we need to stay. If this person isn't here when she wakes up, when she's done with her surgeries, whatever it is, like, I would not want my kid to be alone. And then everyone is like, okay, I think that's a good point. We should all stay. We'll be her community around her. And then the mom does show up. And when she talks about, like, they come out, what's the daughter's name? Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Gilda says that her son Matthew is still in surgery, and she's like, I'll be praying for him, and she kept her composure through all of that.
Yep.
Wow, you're a good person, Gilda. They wrote you as a good person.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to shout out for this show, it's very interesting to see, like, they're, when they're starting, the prep work is happening, and April's like, I think I should maybe start warming up IV, and I need to get blankets, and I need to be ready, blah blah blah. And then when Lexi walks in and is like, well, where is everybody? And the initial thought is, well, it takes a while to fish people out of the ocean.
And triage, like, they're going to triage there and kind of decide who needs what.
But. Right. And Mark is just playing Angry Birds on his phone. throwback. At least he should have said something like Flappy Wings or something like
that. No,
that
wasn't
Bird.
Around yet. Flappy
was
Bird
it?
Is later,
was it?
I think. Yeah.
And then it shifts later on to April being impatient, and then I think it was Owen, I think, is the one who says they would have been here by now. Yeah. No one's coming. There's no survivors. Yeah. That's just such a haunting transition to them having to make all of those calls. And even, I think Lexi was like, these people think they're getting good news when they're bringing them into rooms one at a time. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. I can't imagine having those conversations multiple times. a day.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Teddy was the first one up. She said, I guess I'll take it. I got this, guys.
Yeah.
Anyways,
okay,
so
let's do some Discord questions.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
First of all, Callista would like to know what episodes made you cry.
What episodes?
Yeah, so far have made you cry.
That would require me to really think back. I think I've done a decent job at saying
what I've
gotten.
I feel
like you
did a couple times during the musical. And I knew there were other ones, but I couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I feel like I do a good job of explaining when and where I do get teary-eyed or emotional. Yeah. I didn't cry this episode, but I did get emotional at the end after the mom leaves and Gilda is just there. And it's like the weight of, I don't, like, my son is dead. And this lady just said, I'll be praying for you. That was very emotional. But didn't cry. I would have to really.
The Izzy and Denny shoulder touching was that one.
Oh yeah. Was that emotional or was it goosebumps or did I don't remember if I cried for that scene. For sure. Remember the guy, he's like trying to take his daughter across the border to Mexico.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. That I could cry right now just thinking about that episode.
Yeah, that was brutal.
And she's just like sitting there. He avoids her like the whole episode. Yeah. She's like slipping away. Bailey is like, okay, I got to stop talking about it.
She also asked what episode had been the most emotionally distressing. And I said emotionally distressing, I would probably guess would be the shooting. But if you were talking specifically the feels, then I probably that one that you're talking about. Anything with like a little kid and parents or a little girl and a dad for sure.
I think that's probably the most sad I have been watching a Grey's episode. I will tell you the most uncomfortable I have been watching a Grey's episode is the dude inside of Concrete.
Oh yeah, that was
so or the tree guy.
Yeah,
those have been very uncomfortable episodes to watch. From like the tree thing, like I can't imagine. Like that was what was that? The disease. You get the vaccines.
Oh wait,
for,
where the guy looked like he was a tree.
Yeah,
and then like the spider came out of his hand.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
what's
I want to say it was one of the hepatitises.
No, it's not the hepatitis.
Maybe.
It's the
I don't think it was like tuberculosis.
No, it's the one where you can get a. It's mostly girls get it. It's a cervical thing.
HPV.
Yeah, wasn't that HPV?
It may have been.
I thought it was a strand of HPV. I thought
it might be. Let me see.
And then, as someone who is a taller, larger human person, I do not like confined spaces. So being confined into Concrete was very unsettling for me. But
yeah
the
it
most
was human papillomavirus. Good memory, Carmen.
Thank
good
you.
Memory.
Thank you.
Also, shout out to me for knowing literally the exact. Like I didn't even have to look up what episode that was. I just knew the title because I'm.
What
a
was it? What was the title?
Super Freak.
Yeah. So that guy was super freaky.
Yeah.
But I hope that answers your questions, Callista. Great questions.
Okay, we talked a little bit about Owen's reaction being a piece of shit. Did this episode feel like a finale? No. Will Christina get the abortion?
Yes.
Okay. And then between Christina and Owen and Meredith and Derek, who makes it? Who is over for good? Do they both make it? Are they both over?
I don't see Christina and Hunt working it out. I think they're over for good. That's an ideological difference.
Right.
Meredith.
Derek is presenting this also like an ideological difference, though.
Derek is presenting it. I think that he will get over it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what that journey looks like. But I don't think they get I don't think they get a divorce. I think they stay together. Ultimately.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Meredith and Alex's friendship? We did not mention that she kicks him out of the house. And also when Christine is like, she's the only one who ever cared about you. Good fucking luck. No one's going to give a shit about you anymore.
Yeah, if the hospital's burning down, go find a skanky intern to get you a cup of water or something like that.
Yeah, she said the next time you're in a burning building, no one's handing you a cup of water.
Yeah, that's what it was. So. I think their friendship will eventually heal. I don't think that this is a turn for their relationship. If Alex would have gotten Chief Resident over her and that's what was the deal breaker, maybe, but they both didn't get it.
Yeah.
And it's not like Alex didn't handle the situation right, but Meredith shouldn't have done the thing in the first place, in my opinion.
And she doubles down and said she would do it again.
Yeah, totally. And I get that that's how she feels.
That's her perspective. Yeah.
That's her
perspective. There's obviously like so much going into the backstory of her relationship with Weber and her relationship with Alzheimer's and her mother's relationship with Weber, like informs so much of this choice. And I do, to her point, I don't think it's black and white. I think it's very gray, Meredith Gray, but it's still, I don't know that I would have done it.
I
can't say for sure, so
I don't think I would have done it.
Yeah, I don't think I would have either. Are you happy that Henry and Teddy are finally together?
Well, that depends. Did I predict they would get together?
You predicted he would, that she would say, I want to be with him, and he would immediately drop down dead.
Okay, we have plenty of time. We have plenty of time for him to die. I think I would have been more happy if they got together, that they're together, if he wasn't like such a dick.
Yeah. So you think that you did not appreciate how he was in this episode.
I didn't appreciate. No. Yeah. He was also problematic in this episode when he just kept saying, get the hell out. Like, I waltzed you into his arms. This guy is perfect man.
Yeah. I do feel like he was setting a boundary, but I don't feel that the wording on it was well handled.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to be mean, but I appreciate like setting the boundary of like, I'm not like, this isn't what I want, so stop treating me this way. But I don't. Yeah. The presentation was flawed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Did you like the slow burn of their storyline and the chemistry buildup or not?
I think it's for me, it's hard to see a future.
Yeah.
With his medical condition. I don't think he lives a long life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I like them together. They clearly have chemistry. But if I'm looking at this of...
Right, but just like basically the whole time of them not being together to being together, regardless of his medical state.
Yeah, it was a fun thing to watch. It was fun to... Yeah. They were a good little will they, won't they... That was nice.
See, for me, it was like a couple episodes too long. But that's just my opinion. Like, it was just a little too much. Like, I didn't need to bring back Andrew Perkins personally. To me, that's weird, random, and unnecessary. It's fine. Like, they handled it fine. I was just like, why?
Yeah.
To me, it's like obvious that Henry and Teddy are going to get together. So they're just throwing more obstacles in the way. But yeah, I just think like, for a show that doesn't do a whole lot of the will they, won't they back and forth, to have one that lasts like over half a season, I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Yeah.
That's just me though. Because I do like them together. I just like didn't need so much of the build up for it. What did you think of Quinn Perkins enlightening Christina on her pregnancy?
Just funny. I wish there was more Quinn Perkins. If you're going to bring in a star of Scandal, mm-hmm. bring in the star of Scandal.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's it for Discord questions. Let's rate it, and then we'll see if there's any other predictions to make.
So I would like to rate this as it is, being objective, mm-hmm. and I would also like to rate it the fact that finale. It was a finale.
Yeah, that's fine.
How would you like to do that first?
We can just rate it overall first. I think it's like a 4.2.
Yeah, I'm at an even 4.
Like, it's good. Cliffhangers, you know, we love a Shonda cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. You know, I want to know what happens next, even though I know what happens next. But I mean, I remember watching it live and being like, what the fuck is going to happen? So yeah, I think there's some people in this episode being terrible, but the performances are all great.
And it's a very interesting, yeah, pretty standard. Interesting that it was a misdirect. Like the big drama, the big excitement was the misdirect. Mm-hmm. So that I think kept it at a 4. I got to tell you though, the fact that it was a finale and the fact that it ended up only being a misdirect, like this was a 3. This was a 3 for a finale.
Yeah, for a finale, this is low. I agree. This is very middle of the road for a finale. Like compared to everything else, if I had to rank all the finales, this would probably be the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, that's where we are with that. Okay, any other predictions? What's going to happen to Meredith as from like a job perspective? She's right now suspended. What do you think happens moving forward from that?
I think Derek is going to ultimately decide with Weber's help that they're still going to just submit the trial and they're not going to mention anything and that's it. And Weber is going to convince Derek that it's okay. And Derek will forgive her for whatever reason he thinks that she's wrong. And she's going to get her job back. And they're going to have to do some sort of statement of like, oh, it was found after a thorough investigation that nothing had happened. Everything was okay. Blah, blah, blah.
So this is going to be like an LVAD situation where there's no consequences.
Yep. No consequences.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Love it. Everyone's favorite. Let's see. We did Christine and Owen. Do you want to just do anything about April being chief resident?
I am excited for this. I'm happy for her. I think she's going to do good. I think she's going to have a really, really good job at it, and she will figure out her voice with all the people. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think people are going to rally around her. I'm hopeful.
What about Lexi and Jackson and Mark?
Lexi and Jackson will spend all of season 8 together, with the finale being Mark and her get together, and then Jackson dies.
Oh, how?
A plane crashes into a ferry and then a bomb goes off with a guy shooting at people.
Just like, and then Addison shows up.
And then at the hospital while Addison is doing surgery.
And then
surgery,
there's a prom.
Someone cuts his LVAD wire.
Delightful. I don't know if they have anything else in regards to predictions. I think we kind of got everything out the way. What do you think timeline wise it's going to look like for Owen and Christina's descent?
I want to say this. I don't know, because I want like every time that someone ends a season, it could be anything could happen.
Yeah.
This could be Hunt's last time as a character, and this is, we never see him again. Mm-hmm. And when we get back to episode 1, season 8, it's just like 3 months later or 4 months later, and it's Christina signing the divorce papers and giving it to
him. Okay, well, let's say that season 1 opens and it hasn't been like, it hasn't, there's not a time jump. Not like it's right in this exact same moment, but it's like maybe the same week.
If it's, then they're together, but it's going to be, okay, 4 episodes. 4 episodes, their marriage lasts 4 episodes max.
Okay. And do you think he is the one that pursues a divorce, or she is?
I think he's going to pursue it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sucks.
Dude, I don't like him. Yeah. He's for sure my least favorite character on this show. And
I'm so proud.
It makes me miss George.
Also, it is a bummer because like truly leading up, like when Owen first showed up, like obviously I already know that I hate him. I know that I think he's a terrible person. But it takes a long time for him to do anything in the introduction. So I had to like stay new. Like I tried to stay neutral, and it was hard, but I feel like I did a good job, honestly. But now, like, I'm done with that game. Like, obviously, I'll be honest, I never stayed neutral with Derek. I never, like, I don't care.
That's, yeah, I mean, I don't hate
but
Derek.
With Derek, Derek, it's less of, like, you know, it's less of a slow burn. It's less of, like, single events and more just, like, lots of little things over time. With Owen, it's, like, obviously a build to get to, and then you kind of, like, see he's just bad at relationships. Like, he's bad at accepting life as a partnership.
Yeah.
And, like, what it means to truly, like, be with someone and, like, just to make the choice to marry someone you know wants something different and just think, well, they'll change their mind and want what I want. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah, that's unfair. You bring up a good point. With Derek, it's like a lot of little things, and it's like, oh, okay, like, what's up, dude? But with Owen, it's just like, I think he's just a selfish person.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, if you don't disagree with him, he sees it as a personal attack.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Derek doesn't and hasn't gone through that. I do believe that Derek ultimately cares about those people still.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with Owen. And we spent so much time of him, like, being in a relationship with Christina and still fighting this love of Teddy, or like, then he would do the things behind her back where he was trying to get her fired and told Derek to not hire her. Owen's a butt.
I agree. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page on that. Okay. So, I guess I could ask you a prediction, for Miranda and Eli.
Sadly, they're going to be together. Couple. Yeah, they're going to be together.
Clearly. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. 7 seasons. Wow. What a time to be live. We'll be back. I don't think, are we skipping next week? Are we taking a break? Are we good to go? We're just going to go right into season 8.
Let's just go right into season 8.
We're going to go right into season 8. So we'll be back next week, season 8. You can follow us on Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod. You can email us, greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can join our Patreon, get on our Discord, lots of chit chats, lots of question asking, Carmen free threads. Lots of things to share over there. Thank you so much for listening. Please keep sharing us. New people keep finding us, and we love it. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
remember, no spoilies. We hate them. We hate the spoilies. We hate the spoilers. We hate the things that make the show not be fun for all of you. We appreciate all of you, and we'll see you all in the next one.